This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. You would have heard of Tasputra Perkim, especially that, you know, her lovely voice sort of runs as a promo on BFM. And she always talks about Tasputra Perkim and how, you know, you can get in touch with them to help them. Now, Haja Ilahi Norman is the chairman of Tasputra Perkim. She's been running it for 26 years now, founder. Very unfortunately, I was rather disturbed when I read in the Star online that Tasputra Perkim has been asked to relocate from, you know, where they've been operating for 26 years. Well, Haja Ilahi is here with me to explain what's really happened. Haja, welcome to the show and welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be back.
Haja Ilahi, when you set up Tasputra Perkim 26 years ago, what was the driving force for you to set it up?
Actually, the idea came from Puan Muna Osman, who had adopted Amin, a little boy, as her son. And Amin was blind because he was an abandoned child in somewhere in KL. So the idea came from her, and we were a group of women. She said, let's start this center for the special children. So it started as a voluntarily effort. And it grew and grew and grew to the day to day. It's just that it's one of those things that you start, there is no way that you cut in the middle, you know. It just goes on and on.
Right. How many children do you have now?
Now we have got 52 children of all races and religious background. It is a beautiful place where race, religious background, nothing counts. We are there with the children. People come. They give to the children. Everything is for the love of the children. So this is it. You know?
So it's a daycare training center for children with special needs.
Yes. We started, it was like Pusa Jagan, you know, just to look after the children. And it went on for years. Now we can say we are a training center because we provide professional care as well. So now I'm very proud to say we are a daycare training center for multiracial children with special needs.
Okay. What sort of disabilities do you
disabilities
know, cater for?
Basically is CP children, cerebral palsy.
Okay.
Or brain damaged. And this can happen before birth. It can happen when the mother is pregnant and carrying. And it can happen during the birth because we've had so many children that it happened when the mother was...
During the birthing process?
Yes, in a long labor. And we had a few twins that one is okay. The second one came out late and had somehow a disability. And it can happen at the age of 6 or 7 or any age, actually, when the child gets a fever and has fits because of this fever. You know, this is why the doctors nowadays are stressing so much when the children have fever. We mustn't cover them up and you must bring the temperature by all means. Otherwise, they might get to the fits and, of course, some disability happens to them.
Okay. Not all the time, but it really depends on the situation.
Yes, yes. But we are always very afraid of the fever.
We are.
I mean, I raised 4 children. Later on, I have another one. And I was told that be very, very careful about the fever. Now also we are watching the children all the time. We must make sure that we bring the fever down even before we call the parents if it suddenly happens in the center.
26 years, could you describe the facility that it has become? And you've been there in this premises for 26
thank
years.
Thank God a million times that God has given me this opportunity, this chance to serve these children. Because it doesn't happen to anybody, everybody, I mean, you know. It's just that my heart and my nature and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drove me into this. I'm very grateful.
Who are some of the people who are supporting you?
People are very, very supportive. But sometimes everybody is busy doing their own things. Life is busy in Malaysia, in KL especially. People have got things to do. You need a jump start for all of us, you know? So after this article came in the paper, a lot of people have said, hello, we know you're there. Don't worry, we are behind you. We will help. What do you need? People come, they offer their professional help. And I was very, very touched. Some young people came forward and they said, you know, we are there. If you want to write a letter, we can help you. Some people said, you know, I can help you with legal help, mm-hmm. you know, if you need. And some people, there is two artists, which I'm really proud of them. Can I say their names?
Of course.
Edwin and Murti. Mm-hmm. These two lovely gentlemen, they decide to do a video clip for us, and they start filming next week. I am very proud of these people. So thank God that we are doing a very difficult job, but public are very supportive.
Right. So April 17th, you were asked to vacate the premises. Of course, the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is why? On what basis?
You know, I have always thought about the children. Certain organizations, they go and build a place, fundraise, ask for funds, buy a land, build. With me, it wasn't like this. We just, one important thing, children. Not to say that, you know, we were so busy with looking after children, raising funds, of course, in a small ways, bring this. We had to learn ourselves, actually, you know. We learn, we get the professional help, we buy certain equipments, and dealing with the children the whole time. So I never thought, our team of people, our management, never thought that, you know, one day perhaps we will be asked to leave these premises, mm-hmm. because we know that this is a government land, and alhamdulillah, government of Malaysia is very well-to-do. It's very, I mean, we have everything. This is a Negara Maju, you know. I never thought that one day would they say, please go out.
Mm-hmm. So you're living on government quarters?
Land? Yes, this is a government quarters that with the help of people and with the help of the government, it was renovated.
And right. That is quite puzzling.
You know, but yeah, the welfare gave us some money to renovate the place and to make it better for the children, because everybody thinks, you know, a house is not a center. We are here running a center, which is for the children. I have to make it friendly center with the proper lights, with the proper sunlight to come in, big glasses, beautiful garden, sound of birds, squirrels running around. We had a monkey in the garden. We had some animals at one time. This is for the children. I must admit that I never thought about that one day we have to leave. Not at a kind of a notice like this, you know. I'm sure they give us, we are talking about few years actually. It's not a thing that next month we have to move. Mm-hmm. But we are hoping and praying. We're going to appeal to the Prime Minister. We have a gentleman as a Prime Minister. He's very much of friendly towards the needs of the disabled people. And his wife, she is absolutely so much for the children. She loves the children. Every year we go to Bhakti's party. We can see that, you know. And I hope that one day they will say, look, let's think of something. I hope to God they will allow us to stay where we are.
Were you given a reason as to why you had to move?
Yes. They said that this area is going to be developed. Mm. So I wanted to find out who is the developer. Maybe we can go and appeal to the developers, because developers are human beings. Everybody is a human being, you know.
I'm not commenting on that.
No, I mean, you see these children, you see that one or two of them, they don't even eat from the mouth. We have to be tube feeding them. And you should see, that's why always we ask people, please come to the center and have a look. Because when they come there, the moment they arrive, they say, wow, I never thought it's going to be like this. And I always say, what did you think? How did you think it was going to be like? Because the children are everywhere and the staff are attending to these children as if it's their own. You know, it is very hard to look after children with special needs. And as a mother, I can tell you, Mira, it is very hard for a mother to trust someone to leave the baby with the special needs into the hand of a stranger. I'm a mother. For the first few years of my daughter, she's over 30 now. I remember I wouldn't allow in 2-3 years even a bath, a nappy change for her. Mm-hmm. Because a mother is very protective. So we have to do quality care, our high quality care, to trust, to make parents to trust to leave the children with us. So I care on that a lot, you know.
And all that has been built over 26 years.
Yes. So, and of course the equipment, of course safety precautions, make sure that, you know, nowadays the cars, we won't allow the cars to come in, and because the fumes from the cars of the parents, that caused some problem. And one day I started coughing. Mm-hmm. So we decided no more cars come inside the compound. And one or two parents really showed off because they want to come in with the cars to put the children inside. And too many cars, you know, it's not good for the children, mm-hmm. the fumes that comes out of the cars. So everything in Tasputra is for the good of the children.
Right. When we come back, we'll find out more about the plight of Tasputra Perkim. What is Haja Ilahi's plans going forward for the Centre for Disabled Children? If you have a question for her, send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000. You can tweet BFM Radio. We'll also tell you, you know, if Haja Ilahi really needs help, how you can actually extend that help. So that's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. We're discussing the plight of Tasputra Perkim, which is a centre for disabled children, which is somewhat in jeopardy at the moment. I don't want to sound negative because I think I always want to think positive, that the future is definitely bright, you know, and things are going to get better. Chairman Haja Ilahi Norman with me, trying to find out what really is going on, because Tasputra Perkim was given an eviction notice on the 17th of April after operating for 26 years in Jalan Ampang Hilir, am I correct?
Yes, okay. Ampang Hilir 5.
Right. So 52 children now under your care?
Yes, there are 52 children on the registration. And according to the size of the house, we are allowed to have only 52.
Okay.
But as you know, recently we have built an extension.
Yes. Tell me about that. It's a extension for, it's a sensory room?
Yes. This extension, we had some donation, 120,000 from Toyota. And we added 30,000 on it for 150,000. A contractor who started building this left the building after taking 5 checks, coming to 105,000. And he just left.
Oh, dear.
A lot of efforts was made to write, to ask them to come. And unfortunately, they just disappeared. And the eyesore was there for about 2 years, which is very, very sad, you know. And we raised some funds and some people helped, and we started building round about a few months ago. This time we had so many conditions for this new contractor, and he did a great job. So another donor came along to give us the wiring and the lights. And that cost about 15,000-16,000. So the room was so beautiful, and they were fixing the electricity when we received the notice. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can imagine, we are human beings, and I was so shocked. The staff were shocked, people, all of us. And of course, this is why we are hoping and praying that the authorities would allow us to stay in this place, because so much of effort, Mira, it's not easy with a little bit of money here and there. Go and call people, send numerous letters in order to get donation of tiles, donation of this and that and that. We don't have big lump sums in order to do things, you know. So we manage with a little bit here, with a little bit there. The room looks beautiful. It's too big room. We wanted to make a sensory stimulation room, and of course music room, because when we play music, some of the children who cannot tolerate big the sound of music like drums playing, they start crying. So we have to separate the music class into this different building for those who would like to go there and play drums and really empty this energy that they have, you know? And this was the idea behind this. So now that it is ready, this is like a multi-purpose room as well, because if we have talks, if we have meetings, if we do fundraising, you know, we can do it in this room.
Right. So don't you feel tired that, you know, you have to fundraise? I mean, your strengths are very much in, with the children.
It is very tiring because we have to go back to the same people. And we have same people. There are certain people who give us every Bulan Puasa. We send this appeal letter out and they give some donation to us. It's kind of an ongoing process that I have to be there, go on, and do all these things. Not unless we receive a big lump sum. So this can be a little bit easier.
Okay, well, what are you going to do with that money?
And
if you
also,
do receive,
also, Mira, I must tell you, we cannot get some people and ask them to fundraise, because we did that at one time, and it failed. Because people want to take a cut out of this, and we are not for that. We would like, when people come, they come from the goodness of their heart, to give a certain donation. If they give 100 ringgit or $1, 1 ringgit, we give the receipt. If they want tax exemption, we give tax exemption. We go back with the thank you letter to them. Everything is written there beautifully in the books. And we have these auditing people who audit the accounts and give it to the welfare every year. So I just need some help, because we seem to be very good in what we are doing. I mean, according to what people say, this little heaven for the children, I just hope that the authorities understand that it is not easy. I've had people, very wealthy people, they have come to us and say, look, how much does it take to make a center like this? And I always tell them, if you have enough money, you can buy a land, you can make a bigger school, you can make a, you know, bring specialists even from foreign countries and make this. They said, no, there must be a dedicated person behind this project. It's not about money. So that might be a little compliment for me and my team, that we are very dedicated people.
Of course, you're dealing with children with severe disabilities,
yes,
aren't you?
It's very difficult. And we do things a little bit out of the box, like we work on the confidence of the children. At one time, we had Ibu Bonde, the mother of Raja of Perlis, the former Permaisuri Agong, who lived in front of us. And God bless her. She's passed away now. And when she used to come from Perlis, we used to go and visit her with the children. And we invited the Twanku once. And she was so fascinated with the facilities in the center. And she gave a donation. And she praised us and everything. And at one time, the Duliang Mahamuliak, the former king, the Raja of Perlis, came to visit his mother, his Ibu. And we lined up the children in the front, and we were saying, Daula Twanku, Daula Twanku. I mean, we teach the children these kind of things as well. You know, this is most beautiful, and I'm very proud of it.
Right.
And we have taken part in every layer of the society. And once, Ton Dr. Mahader, God bless him, he gives 300 ringgit every month. Every month, the former prime minister makes sure we receive this 300. I don't know how many hundreds of people might be receiving the same thing. This is very heartwarming that the former prime minister gives a donation, you know. And he told me, you seem to be everywhere. And I said, Alhamdulillah, thank God, you know. So we have taken participation. We go to the hotels, we go to the embassies, we go to the banks. We work with all layers of the society because we need to tell people, we are doing this job, please come and visit us. Once they come and visit, of course, they see with their own eyes. I don't have to claim anything. It's there for the public to go and see.
What are you planning to do after this? I mean, what scared me is you said, in the name of development, Hajja Ilahi, unfortunately in this country, a lot of things, many things have to give. So what's your backup plan?
I do understand development has to take place. But the thing is, we need to be acknowledged. It is very hard to make a house turn into a daycare center with a very limited budget, with a lot of effort, you know. So the donors, I met with a few, they are quite upset. They said, my money is going to waste. I said, well, I do have the trust that we are not going to move. I hope to God, we are praying to God that they acknowledge this fact that this is a beautiful little center. People refer to it as a little heaven for the children. Mm-hmm. So please, the authorities, allow this to stay, because it will be a big effort and a lot of money if you want to build like this in another place. Mm-hmm. So the development even can maybe close one eyes to the plight of these children, because it's very difficult to remove the swimming pool and the big room and this room and that room, because it's very hard, I feel.
Mm-hmm. How did the parents and your staff react when you were told that you had to leave?
The staff are very worried. And every day I do a little motivational talk that, you know, please hold on. Even if we have to move, I am definitely positively sure that we are going to be moved to an even better, bigger place. I am definitely sure. It's not going to be worse, because Malaysia is a beautiful country. We are not short of money. It's a rich country. We have oil, we have Petronas, surely someone will come to our help.
Would you know of other shelters who have, you know, had the similar problem?
You see, people, there are certain few NGOs, I do understand, that they were in this area. And for a few years, we heard and we felt very sorry for them, that they had to move. They were given notices and they moved. Some of them, all of them now have moved. But when it came to me, we were under the impression that this development is excluding us, until a few months ago, until 17th of April.
Yep.
Yes.
Is the demand for funds at a center?
And, you know, may I say, Mira, I'm sorry. Other centers were like schools, they're like religious organizations, associations like MSRI, Malaysian Sociological Resource Society, where they've got, it's like moving, like take the libraries, tables and chairs and move to a nicer, newer place. But for us to move, it's a big deal, you know, to move all these things that we build in the center for the comfort of the children. And it has to be being in Ampang, it allows the embassies to come to us, bring volunteers to us, introduce specialized people to us. You know, every time the embassies have National Day, like Italian National Day, mm-hmm. Holland, Ireland National Day, Belgium National Day, they bring the cakes to us and we have a feast with the children. And I remember once we received a beautiful cake from the Japan
embassy
for their National Day, and it was a Mount Fuji mm-hmm. shape on the cake. And do you know, we took this cake and talk about Mount Fuji, and now the children know Mount Fuji is in Japan.
Right.
And this we learned and played with this cake that was given to us from the Japanese embassy. And we get beautiful support from the Japanese. So I don't feel that ever, forever, I can be going outside Ampang, because we lose this
community.
Touch.
I mean, you've built that support.
And also, the parents are within the area. They come to bring the children to us, and we go and bring the children in the vans, you know. So I just hope and pray that authorities will allow us to stay.
Relocating would mean starting all over again. And that's
it. Oh, dear.
You know, yeah, from scratch, literally.
Inshallah that we will be allowed to stay.
What are emergency options at this moment?
I am very, very hopeful. I do have the trust in our government and our wonderful Prime Minister and the promises that he gave, and he thinks about people. We can see after election they are doing a lot of things to do the promises that they have made. Inshallah, that they will think about Tasputra's children.
How long do you have?
We are not given the time yet. We are waiting for another letter to be told what is the next step. And I am so frightened and worried. And
you're having sleepless nights, aren't you?
It's very worrying. It is really worrying. I have delayed travel. You know, my son lives in Los Angeles, and I've got two daughters in London, and they keep saying, Mommy, anybody your age, they are retired now. You've done 26 years. Don't you want to be retired? I say, well, this thing, how can I be retired? Inshallah, that once the government allows us to stay, and I'm trying to find somebody and train them to carry on with this, I want this to go on and on and on for the future generation. Mm-hmm. Because, Mira, when I receive the children nowadays and I see this child is like 12 years, 13 years, and I look in the diary and say, my God, 12, 15 years ago I was doing the swimming pool. Now this child is doing the exercises in the pool. Now this child is using this. Now we are doing this today for the future, you know, like children are being born and they need us. Mm-hmm. The other day I was fortunate enough to talk in the IKIM radio. Somebody called from Kelantan and they said, we would like these facilities to be in Kelantan. God, I tell you, I'm ready to go anywhere in Malaysia and use this experience and open centers and teach people how to do this. Why not? We can
replicate.
Take the team there and teach people how to do this, and we can invite them to come to Kuala Lumpur and share with them. So this is what I would like to carry on in this field as long as I can breathe. Mm-hmm. And I don't like certain things to distract me, because I'd like to concentrate with doing what I'm doing for the children.
Okay.
And I've got a wonderful team. These girls who work in Tasputra, the group of volunteers, I've got a lady who is a senior physiotherapist. She's going to come and see us next week to come and do some work. And
who are some of the others? What are the areas of specialty?
You know, the music, you know, music for the children. We have some volunteers who do music with the children. The children really respond to the music. I'd like to carry on that, and I'd like to go. There is a lady who does art with the children. She even holds exhibition for the children with the special needs. Severe children who can hardly hold a brush. Mm-hmm. She can train them to do something, and these paintings become a real valuable kind of an art piece, mm-hmm. you know? I like to go on that. I like to give priorities to the handicapped, and I like to work with the parents, because, you know, I feel very heavy to say that I adopted this little boy, and he is 9 and a half, and this is the first time I talked to him about him in the radio. He is a wonderful little miracle. There was a time when I never thought he could walk. He could talk. He speaks three languages now. He sings. He plays music on his own.
What was wrong with him?
He was a delay, global delay case because he was a premature baby. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely wonderful. He goes to the market. Everybody knows him. He goes everywhere. He's got his own fan club, you know? So any child with a special needs who is given enough love, mm-hmm. enough priorities. Last week he did something good on the horse during the horse riding. He came home with a prize. Children can be trained, and we as adults are here to help these children to reach their best level. But we cannot give up in the middle. We cannot give up, say, oh, tade transport, or I don't have this, or I cannot attend. If you take the child and attend to these things, do the therapies, you will see the children improve. Once the child improves, they won't be a burden on the parents and on the krajaan. How long the government wants to give allowances for the handicapped? If we train these children while they are very young, of course they can be independent, they can have jobs, they can be musicians, they can be horse riders, they can be people even to look after horses and animals. Mm-hmm. You know, that is very important to me. So we have to think about the future that way.
How long do they stay at Tasputra Perkim?
Well, when we started from birth to 10 years, that was our age limit. But when the child gets 11 years old, I can't say, well, excuse me, you're 11 years old, please silakan keluar. So they stayed and they stayed and I've got one or two who are about 30 years of age.
Right.
Two girls, they're 30 years of age. And they are the early children of Tasputra who are adults. You know? So we do help them as much as possible. We do teach them to eat on their own, to be as independent as possibly can. Behavior therapy, we are very fortunate to have a psychologist in the center. We have two occupational therapists, two physiotherapists, and a lot of volunteers who are helping out. And we need to have some money to pay for a few vacancies we have. It seems to be very difficult to find drivers. Mira, it's been very difficult since our driver retired. I hope he's listening. We used to love our Pachi Aziz. He retired, and I cannot replace the vacancy. We have an OKU driver who is not capable of keeping up with his job due to his problems. And we are in desperate need of a driver. And would you believe a volunteer who is a lawyer, a foreigner lawyer, and he is a factory owner. They're going to be immigrating to New Zealand. He offered to come and drive the children. And I feel a little embarrassed. I don't know where I'm going to ask this gentleman to sit down. You know? So people are really, really kind. And I'm really touched by this. And one more thing that I really need to beg the authorities about this is that certain times we need to allow to employ foreigners. I tried to employ a Filipino maid who happened to be a graduate. For 9 months, I even went to see the Dato, who is the head of the immigration, mm-hmm. and very kindly this gentleman, this Dato, accepted me. I talked to him. He spoke to me. He allowed us to employ this. But when I went to the Filipino authorities, they said she cannot be coming to the country as a volunteer worker because of their laws and rules and regulations. The reason that I wanted to take this lady is that she has got two cerebral palsy children, and she did some voluntary work here during her off days, and I realized what a wonderful worker she was. But unfortunately, I couldn't employer.
Mm-hmm. Some flexibilities need to be in
yes.
place, isn't it?
Yes.
So what's your running cost like, Haja Elahi, every month?
The running cost is about 40,000 to 45,000, and that is to pay for the salaries, EPF, SOXO, petrol money, and recently we've spent some money, which I'd like to stop this expenditure, for the old vans. The vans are becoming older, and they are causing expenses. So I hope to God, if people would like to donate a new van to us, so we can probably sell two vans and buy a new one, or donate a van to us that, you know, we can ferry the children around and not to pay so much for the workshop, for the expenditure, for repairing the vans. Mm-hmm.
Do parents pay you for sending the children to the center?
Yes. We have a fees of 350 ringgit. Some of the parents who cannot afford, they don't pay this amount, because if the parents are single, we've got so many single parents, they pay 50 ringgit, 100 ringgit. And unfortunately, I'm very sorry to say this. I apologize before I say this. A few well-to-do parents, they did not pay this for many months, and they took the child and they went off. So please have a heart. Please, I do ask, I do appeal to the public. This place must have some money to run. The money we get from the children is a little help, because we do get a welfare allowance. It's not much. It's maybe according to 1 month of expenses in 12 months. Mm-hmm. The rest we have to fundraise and find the money to run the center.
Okay. We're running out of time, Hajja Ilahi. But,
so sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. No, your hopes for Tasputra Perkim going forward? Your hopes?
My hope. Now, I'm hoping and praying to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to allow us to go on, to do this good work, to send more people to us who are specialized, to help us to carry on, to do the good work for these children and the future children, so we can make these children as independent as possible. So the parents must be regular. They must bring the children. And I do hope that the parents do not take the children and go and do Ubat Kampong and come back, because the child stops. They come back with the body is all hard.
So there has to be amount of consistency.
Yes, okay. We need the help from the authorities, from the public, from the parents. This is not a one-man show. The whole layers of the society is involved in this. We need to help each other if we want to develop our people with the disabilities, in order to get them as independent as possible for the future, so they won't hang around on the welfare to be, you know, the government has to come out with money to keep these people. So inshallah that we will get all the help we need.
How do we get in touch with you? Is there a website?
Yes. And may I mention the bank account number?
Okay.
Shall I say it?
Yes.
Or you?
I tell you what, why don't we just give the website and then people can get in touch with you.
Of course.
So the website is actually tasputraperkim.org.my, or you can call them on 03-4251-6100. Yes. You're having a carnival, which is going on soon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I almost...
It's a fundraising event?
This is a fundraising event, and we are going together with Pusat Majudiri and Wisma Harapan. Pusat Majudiri, they look after adults with the hearing impairment, and they're going to play the lovely drums. You know, they're very clever when they play drums. And Wisma Harapan is a school for Down syndrome adults and intellectually disabled people. So we are going to be selling food, drinks, cakes, fruits, games. There's going to be lots of... It's like a family day for all of us. And, of course, we had the contact of some wonderful people.
When is that happening?
It's on the 9th of June. It's on a Sunday.
Okay.
And a group of people from the Blue Jacket Society, these are the owners of the supercar like Ferrari and Lamborghini, they're going to bring 20 Lamborghini in the garden,
wow,
in front of the house. So we will be charging a fee, probably a 10 ringgit or a 5 ringgit. I'm not so sure how much they're going to charge, to give a ride to the people who would like.
Who
and
come
this
for
money
the
is going to the children's funds.
Okay.
And so I do hope to make the invitation for the public. I hope people do come and have fun with us on that day.
9th of June at your Tasputra Perkin, which is on Jalan Ampang Hilir 5.
That's right. So right next to Polo Riding Club and behind Rain Tree Club.
Okay. So once again, that website, tasputraperkin.org.my, or call them on 03-4251-6100. We wish you all the best, Hajah Ilahi.
Thank you very much. When I speak about Tasputra, I get carried away.
It's all right. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you so much.
Hajah Ilahi Norman, the chairman of Tasputra Perkim, which is a centre for disabled children, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.